You're listening to another top-rated radio show on the USA Talk Radio Network.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. This is Jill Trammell. I'm guest hosting today for Tom Garcia on the American Hour. With me today is Josh Waldron, founder and executive CEO, I believe, at Silencer Co. Silencers Are Legal is the topic today, and we're going to get right down to business about why only 39 states are upholding our Second Amendment rights. Everyone should know that over 27,000 silencers are sold every year in the U.S. to civilians. And we're going to have Josh tell us a little bit about himself and the history of silencers, as well as how we go about obtaining those silencers legally and what we can do to influence our Congress in making sure that the rest of the states follow suit in following our Second Amendment rights. Good afternoon, Josh. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Great. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you live, and what made you start a silencer company with your two partners?
Well, I live in Salt Lake City, Utah, and, you know, a few years ago, I was a gun enthusiast, and I owned some suppressors, and I owned a lot of what the liberal call the evil black rifles, and I owned a lot of that kind of stuff. But I saw that there was a need for a certain few products on the market for silencers. There was a lot that could be improved on, and there was it was actually a very the market was in its infantile state, and I knew that if I got involved, that I could push the market and expand it and really create a niche. So my partners and I, we wrote a business plan, and we got things rolling, and here we are, three and a half years later, and we are the largest supplier of silencers to civilians in the country.
Wow. Now, well, how could you explain the rapid growth of silencers during this time in history? Tell us a little history about silencers and suppressors in general, and why you think you're selling so many now during this downturn in our economic time.
Sure, yeah. You know, the silencers have been around for a long time. In 1909, Hiram Maxim actually started the Maxim Silencer Company and had products for less than $4 just at a general hardware store. And during the Prohibition times and some of the Great Depression, there was fear that people might use these silencers for poaching, and besides that, a lot of mobsters and people were using machine guns and short barrels, shotguns for crimes, and because all of this was a big fear in the for the government, they started to figure out a way to ban silencers. Well, they figured out, or, you know, ban all of those items. They figured out they couldn't do it because of the Second Amendment, thank goodness. And so they put in place the National Firearms Act of 1934, and that basically regulates all of those items, short-barreled rifles, short-barreled shotguns, and machine guns and silencers are and any other weapon, which is things that don't look like guns, like a cane gun or a belt buckle gun or things like that. Those are also regulated by the NFA. And what was interesting about that is that silencers weren't used in crimes, and there is, to this date, there's very, very few crimes that were committed with silencers. It's just not like the movies where everybody thinks that all the villains and the mobsters and the gangsters and cartels have silencers. That's not the way that it really is in real life. And they fell out of favor. They were expensive. The NFA branch put a $200 tax on any of those items that they purchased, which was a far greater number than the cost of the firearms that they were being attached to. And so, you know, it really kind of just kind of fell out of favor. And it wasn't until the 80s where some companies started making mass-produced silencers that were effective and quiet, and the tax wasn't, you know, with inflation, the tax never rised, which is another thank goodness. But you know, they didn't. The $200 started to seem feasible, and now here in the, you know, economic trouble that we're in, $200 is quite a lot of money to anybody, let alone you paying $300 to $1,000 for a silencer that then you have to pay a $200 tax on, and you have to pay sales tax on that as a consumer, so you're getting double taxed on that product. But so we're trying to, you know, spread the word and get the word out that of the benefits of using silencers, and we've done a lot of education campaigns. We have the Yes Silencers Are Legal website and the Yes Silencers Are Legal brochure that we've printed 30,000 copies of, and so we're really getting out there into the mainstream now and educating people about the benefits of silencers, and that is why we're seeing such large growth.
That's great. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the benefits of having a silencer?
Sure. Yeah. There's many benefits. As a hunter, you've got decreased recoil, decreased sound. So, you know, the biggest problem with hunting is that nobody's going to wear hearing protection. They really need to hear their surroundings and their environment and be able to know where their prey is and if there's any other shooters nearby or all of that kind of stuff. And so the key element here is to save your hunter, save the hunter's hearing and the people that are with them. Say your son is standing in the blast wave of the muzzle. I mean, that's 165 to 175 decibels, and anything over 140 decibels can cause permanent hearing damage. So you're really putting a lot of people at risk when you're hunting without a silencer. So hearing protection is number one. Decrease the recoil is number two, which actually is a really fun way to hunt because you can keep your crosshairs on your target in your scope and pull the trigger, and you can literally watch the bullet impact. Without a silencer, your muzzle is going to rise off of that target, and you're going to have to look around and find that target again in your scope. So. So that, you know, there's that as well. I mean, there's a lot of benefits. It's all around.
How about the military? Tell us a little bit about how the military is using it and what the benefits are to our soldiers. And how many more do we need to possibly, or I should say, what is the percentage of the military that's actually using silencers today? And how much further do we have to go in order to get this to all of our soldiers?
Unfortunately, there's not enough soldiers using them. VA medical claims highest claim for the VA medical is for hearing loss due to gunfire. So we're talking about over $600 million a year spent in hearing damage for soldiers. And right now, the only soldiers that have them are special forces. And they're very common in the special forces, but we're really trying to push them to get the big green army involved and have every weapon deployed have a silencer on it. It'll save a lot of tax dollars with medical claims, and it will save all of our soldiers' hearing for having that repeated gunfire in their ears.
Right.
Another problem too is the tinnitus that they get is that constant ringing. It's actually proven to be a lot more difficult to get over post-traumatic stress disorder because your ringing in your ears is a constant reminder of the experience that you had. And
right.
So, you know, we can even see a lot of residual savings in VA claims due to mental illnesses as well.
Right, right. I know a lot of people don't realize that we have over 18 documented suicides a day with veterans. And as vice president of VeteranCaregiver.com, we often meet with those families who are dealing with suicidal veterans. And one of the major complaints we always hear is the ringing in the ears. It's pretty hard to wake up every day and try to go to sleep with that constant ringing in your ears and still have a normal, you know, successful life. And it's such an easy thing to prevent, and it would save us tons and tons of money in tax dollars over the long run. So I think that's a really important point that people don't realize about silencers. Now, have people tried to build their own silencers in the past, and what's the, you know, what happens if you try to do your own silencer in one of these states that try to build your own silencer in one of these states that does not approve of the Class 3 item?
It's a 10-year imprisonment and $250,000 fine. It's not something that you want to mess around with.
Yeah, pretty extreme for a small product that saves people's hearing. And why do you think the particular states that are against silencers and Class 3 arms in general, what do you think it's going to take in order to get them to follow suit with the rest of the 39 states?
Well, that's a good question. A lot of the bills, a lot of the states, I should say, are having this repeatedly come up in their legislature. Michigan, we didn't think that Michigan would ever allow silencers, and they became a legal state this year, making it the 39th state. And you know, a lot of the problem is generally speaking, those states that have really strict gun laws, such as California and Illinois and New York and New Jersey, and those are all states that I'm not sure if it's ever going to. I want it to change, and we are pressing hard, and we are lobbying, but I don't know what it's going to take other than getting more voices. That's what's so great about shows like this is education. It's getting more people on the side of silencers and the Second Amendment, and we can, you know, what gets the change is voices. It's it's the people that make the change. So
that's right. Yeah. So how much did it cost now? How much does a silencer cost typically?
We have silencers that range from $350 up to $850, depending on the caliber. And then, you know, there's other companies that have more expensive silencers out there on the market that are in the thousands of dollar range. And, you know, if you want to silence a 50 caliber rifle, it's going to cost a lot more than if you want to silence a 22 long rifle. So,
yeah. Now, what are the best types of firearms to utilize a silencer?
Well, you know, one of the biggest benefits to this is, like I was saying, is the decrease in noise and muzzle rise. Because of that, shooting handguns is a lot more comfortable. So a lot of people like to start shooting handguns. They can learn faster. They can, and you're much more accurate because you're not anticipating or flinching with every pull. A lot of people are afraid of that explosion and that recoil, and so they flinch a little bit in anticipation, and so silencers really help with that. So we've seen a huge growth in the handgun silencer industry, as well as 22 long rifles, great for varmint shooting. And if you have ranch property, you can really help, you know, not annoy your neighbors by taking care of some varmints on your ranch. And so rifles and handguns both are extremely popular for silencers.
Cool. Well, tell me a little bit about what is the process if you'd like to, you know, buy a silencer. What does one have to do in order to purchase one and obtain it legally?
Yeah, if you are lucky enough to live in a constitution upholding state, then then what you would want to do is go to your nearest Class 3 dealer. We have on our websites, there's we have dealer lists of for every state, but there's Class 3 dealers in all 39 legal states, and you would go there and choose the silencer that you want, and then the dealer would give you what's called a Form 4. It's an ATF form, and you fill that out, and you can do it in two ways. You can do it as an individual or as a trust or a business. And if you do it as an individual, then you would get your fingerprints and photo IDs, and you would attach to two Form 4s. So you would send it in duplicate, and you enclose your $200 tax stamp money into that envelope with it, and then you would need to get a chief law enforcement of the county that you live in to sign off on it, which is actually really easy. A lot of people are afraid of that because they're like worried that this chief law enforcement officer is going to not sign, or they're going to think they're crazy. But it's actually a very common thing, and Cleo's actually will sign hundreds of these a year, so it's really no big deal. So you'd go down and get that signature, and then send the whole bundle of stuff to the ATF, and then you get to wait for about 6 to 8 months right now, unfortunately, because the NFA branch of the ATF is very backed up because they didn't anticipate the growth that has been happening in this industry, and they haven't hired any new examiners. So they, and back in 2007, they had two more examiners than they do now, although the market has grown 40% since 2007. So they've got quite a backup. So the second way to do it would be to fill out that same Form 4, but do it as a trust or a business. And there's a lot of people out there that do it this way, because a lot of times you'll have a really liberal chief law enforcement officer that won't sign, even though that's technically illegal. All that he's signing for is to say that this individual doesn't have a criminal record, and but he can't make that judgment call, so he's breaking the law. But very, very frequently these chief law enforcement officers won't sign, and a trust or a business buying it like that is a easier way, because you don't have to get that signature and you don't have to do your fingerprints or photo IDs. So a lot of people are going that route.
Tell me a little bit more about what a gun trust is, and why does that help us?
Well, gun trusts are really neat, because any Class 3 item, you cannot let anyone borrow your equipment, even if it's your children or your spouse or your brother, family. It doesn't matter. So if someone wanted to borrow a silencer to go hunting with, for example, he would be breaking the law, because that was not legally registered with that tax stamp to that individual, and he could go to jail for 10 years and get a $250,000 fine, like I mentioned before. And so, technically speaking, if you have your Class 3 item in your safe at home, and the safe was unlocked, and you left, then your spouse could get that same charge against them. Now, that's never happened before, but technically that's how the law is written. So a gun trust is a good way to go, because you can, any trustee that's on, any beneficiary or trustee that's on the trust, listed in the trust, which you can make those changes on the fly most of the time with several of the different types of trusts, but you can add and subtract people at will. Those people are listed as legal owners of that silencer as well. So it's a really good way to do it. A second benefit for a trust is that when you die, you can pass those items down to whoever your beneficiary is without any additional tax stamp paperwork. So that's important as well.
All right. Well, looks like we have a caller here. Hello, caller. Can you tell us your name?
Yeah, this is Mike Semenoff.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm good. I just had a question about the gun trust and having somebody like myself, like from California, where we're not allowed to have silencers, but I have family who's in Utah. But like, say I want to go to a state that I can have a have a silencer to go hunting, would I be able to have a gun trust set up where I'm a beneficiary being out of state and then still legally be able to use it when I leave California?
Yes, actually you could. It's, you know, because the gun trust would need to be set up in the state where it's legal by a, you know, a family member or a friend. And if you're a beneficiary or someone listed on that trust, then yes, you could take that hunting in another legal state or in Utah or in whatever, wherever you're traveling to. Or, so yes, that is a good way to go. So, you could actually put together a family list of, you know, the family members and get a trust together and say you had hunting property in Wyoming and you kept all of the items there and that's where you did all of your purchasing. So, yeah, you could do that.
Cool. Looks like we have another caller. Hi. Can you tell us your name? Hi. 760 number from California. Are you there? I hear them, but they're not talking. So we're going to say goodbye. Hang on. All right. So have you two guys with me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, great. So tell me a little bit about the states that are not currently, you're not currently allowed to use silencers. What are some of the other issues with these states? I mean, are you allowed to have any guns at all in these states, or tell me what the deal is?
Yeah, some of the states, many of the states, I should say, all allow. You know, the majority of them are just really strict with those laws. There's also some of those states that you can manufacture silencers in, but you cannot legally own them as an individual. So if you say you owned a gun range or a movie prop house or something like that, you could get your Class 3 license and have them as a business, or you could manufacture them. But you cannot sell them or transfer them to anybody in that state. So, like in California, we have dealers in California that have gun ranges that people can come and rent silencers and shoot them in the gun range. And we also have movie houses that use them for film and television. So, you know, the laws are different in every state, which is both a virtue and a vice for the United States of America.
What can people do to change that right now?
The same thing that they can do to change any law. You just have to be more politically active. Write your congressman. We have on silencersarelegal.com pre-written letters to congressmen that you can go in and put your name in and send it to your own congressman or representative in the state that you live in. Tell them about the benefits of silencers and that you want them legalized. And, you know, I've been working hand in hand for the last year with the National Rifle Association, and they are finally taking silencers very seriously in their agenda. So people can sign up on the NRA and donate money to them. That's the largest lobby group in the world, and they actually do make a significant change. They were key in legalizing both Missouri and Michigan this year to make those states legal. And Washington State is now, you can legally shoot with a silencer. Before, you could only own a silencer, but you couldn't shoot in Washington. So they were key in that. So I would say get politically active, send in letters to your congressmen, representatives, and get involved with the NRA as soon as you can.
That's great. All really good advice. Well, I thank you so much, Josh, for your time today, for telling us a little more about the uses and benefits of having a silencer. I think there's a lot of conversation that needs to be had about the impact that this could have with our troops and the reduction in the VA claims and just ways in general that the U.S. needs to adopt all the 250 million responsible gun owners in this country. Silencers have been given a bad rap via the media and movies and television. And I think that they're extremely useful tool that gun owners and especially the competitive handgun industry needs to take a second look at. Appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Sure. Come back anytime. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. Thank you all for joining us today on the American Hour. We hope you come back and see us again soon. Tom Garcia will be on this evening at 7 p.m. He will be hosting live with his guest host, Lori. We hope to see you then. Thanks so much.